Please, to our second reading, to 1 Kings chapter 14, and we'll continue the saga of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. That's kind of his name in the Old Testament, isn't it? First Kings chapter 14, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam. And get thee to Shiloh, and behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. And take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey, and go to him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so. And she arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be, when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman." And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet, as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off Jeroboam from him, or from Jeroboam, him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. Arise thou therefore, get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah, and when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of the Lord which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the days which Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, and Ammonitis. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures out of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so, when the king went into the house of the Lord, that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah an Ammonitess, and Abijam, his son, reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, you've got to be careful of the names in this chapter. You have Abijah, Ahijah, and Abijam. So you need to be careful how you parse those out. You stay after that. Very often, you guys know me. I'm prone to misspeak, and so that's a bad thing for a preacher. I admit that. Sometimes what happens is I'm speaking, and I'll just substitute one name for another. And in this chapter, I'm even the more prone to do that. So please be kind. All right. So as we pick up here the narrative in 1 Kings chapter 14, we have the son, that is Abijah, the son Abijah of Jeroboam, and he turns up sick. And it seems to be a pretty severe sickness, such that Jeroboam is wanting to send to the prophet in order to find out what is going to happen with his son. Now, what's interesting about that is that he goes to a familiar face. He tells his wife, first of all, okay, disguise yourself. Now, why would you think that he would want the queen to disguise herself in going to the prophet? Well, there's a lot of conjectures. We're not told in the passage, but I think there are some reasonable inferences here. It would have been seen as a sign of weakness for him, right, to go to apply to the prophet. I mean, he's sending his wife to the prophet. Shouldn't the king summon the prophet to his house? And so this already shows that Jeroboam is beginning to doubt his favor with the Lord. Of course, he is doubting that favor with good reason, because he sinned against the Lord. And so now his son has come up ill, and so he disguises his wife. Well, we don't want anyone to know that we're going to the prophet, because that could be perceived as a sign of weakness. And you know, that's the last thing I want, is to appear weak, especially after that deal with the prophet in the last chapter. Don't need that. Don't need this kind of negativity in my kingdom right now. Right? And so she goes, and away she goes. And meanwhile, over at Ahijah's place, we have, which by the way is in Shiloh. You know where Shiloh is? Okay, so if you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, you have Benjamin as kind of the buffer between the two, the northern and the south. And that's why Benjamin ended up with Judah. And just north of Benjamin, just a little bit north of Benjamin, is the town of Shiloh. So it's in the southern portion of the northern kingdom. And so here she goes up to Shiloh, and the Lord has already prepared Ahijah the prophet and told him what is happening. Now, this guy is pretty old and his eyes are dim. He can't see anymore. His eyes, it says, are fixed. So, you know, he's not looking at you. That's right. He's not looking at you. And so she comes in and he's got a message for her right away, doesn't he? There are several things that are said to her about the son, and then secondly, in that second section, what the Lord is going to do to the house of Jeroboam. There are just a couple of things that I want you to take notice of. Okay, the first is this: that when Jeroboam set up the golden calves, And when Jeroboam set up the basest of all men to be the priests and to offer those sacrifices at Dan and Bethel, what was his profession? What did he say he was doing? He said he was worshiping the God that brought them out of Egypt. In fact, he mimicked the words of Aaron, who made the golden calf at the base of Sinai. He said, "These are thy gods which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." They are attempting, in this misguided attempt, to worship the God of their fathers by means of these golden calves, which the Lord has not commanded, for which the Lord has not provided. And so the Lord says, "You've set up other gods." Those are the very words he uses. Now, Jeroboam might have said, No, I haven't set up any other gods. We're worshiping you, God of our fathers, through these golden calves." The Lord says, not so fast. You're worshiping other gods. Those are the words that are used. So let's be careful about that. Let's understand that while we may disagree on the applications of the regulative principle with some of our dear brothers and sisters, let us not ever disagree on the principle itself. The principle of regulated worship is indeed a divine principle. We may disagree with our brothers and sisters on some of its particulars, but the principle must never be brought into question. Jeroboam is said to erect statues to other gods, serve other gods. That's the word of the Lord that comes to him. Okay? Verse 9, "But thou hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger and cast me behind thy back." Very, very careful that we take note of that. Okay, so the machinations then of Josiah, whether that would be to set up a false worship or to send his wife disguised to the prophet of Jeroboam, they offer him no cover. They are no covering for his sin. And so he is called out by the Lord. And again, let us remember that when the Lord calls us out with regard to our sin, that is a mercy to us. It is a way to repent. When the Lord ceases correcting us, when the Lord ceases speaking to us, that is, or like the prophet Jeremiah says, and then Paul reiterates in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, when the Lord speaks to us in a language we can't understand, the next thing we will hear are the hoofbeats of judgment. That's a bad thing, to have the speech of God curtailed. As long as he is speaking to us, there is opportunity for repentance. We want to understand that. Okay, so the prophet has a hard word there for Mrs. Jeroboam then. "And Jeroboam's house shall not stand, it shall be cut off." And this is in opposition to what the Lord had told him before to encourage him to the right. The Lord said, "If you obey me, your house will be like David's house." But notice now how he brings up David again here. "You have not done what David did, who served me with his heart, but instead you have built up these other gods." The interesting portion of that section is that it seems that the son of Jeroboam, Abijah, very interestingly, is an elect young man, because the Lord says some things about him. "This is the only good thing in the house of Jeroboam, and he will be gathered and buried, and all Israel shall mourn for him." Well then, I don't know how old this little guy was, but the Lord says that he was indeed favored. Okay, so that's the end of the reign of Jeroboam. 22 years he slept with his fathers. Nadab, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we switch scenes to the southern kingdom. And for the rest of the book of 1 and 2 Kings, we'll be doing that a lot. We'll be switching from the northern to the southern, to the southern to the northern in our understanding of things. So now we have Rehoboam. Rehoboam did wickedness. He allowed those same kinds of images that Jeroboam had made in the north. They had their high places in the south. They built them up. They worshipped in the high places. Oh, they might have said, we're worshipping Yahweh in the high places, but still, remember what the Lord said to Jeroboam. It doesn't matter. You can say that. You can use those words. But truly, those words, you are indeed self-deceived at that point, because to worship the Lord is to worship Him according to His commandment. Okay, so we hear that. We hear about the high places and the high hills. Now, interestingly, the Lord sent... Oh, we have other things going on as well. We have a lot of sexual immorality in the kingdom, in the southern kingdom. And this immorality, I'm fairly certain, was tied up to some of the false worship that they had set up. And Rehoboam, as the king of Israel, should have done something about that, but he did not. He let it go on. And so he is called out as wicked here by the Lord. Okay, so the interesting part, though, that I wanted to mention, and I suppose there are several sermons here, but let's just remind ourselves of this really interesting fact. First of all, we have first table violations, we have second table violations. The Lord stirred himself up in chastisement so that he sent the king of Egypt, Shishak, to attack the southern kingdom, and all of the gold shields that Solomon had made and put in the house, that armory that was in the forest, Shishak took them all away. He took them away. All those shields of gold that Solomon had made. How long did they last? One generation, right? Not very long. One generation. And what did Rehoboam do in return? Did he repent? No. Did he call upon the name of the Lord? No. Did he call for a prophet? What should I do? No. We don't hear any of those things. We don't hear anything that he had at his disposal to do the right thing. Here's what he did instead. I know what I'll do. I'll make shields of brass and put them in their place, in the place of the shields of gold. Now, I don't think any of us in this room here are metallurgists, but we do know the difference between brass and gold. The cost is quite a bit different between brass and gold. The usefulness is quite a bit different. Those shields that were made of gold were not really shields for the armory at all. They were more ornamental than anything else, talking about the greatness of God who protected them. And so Shishak took them away, and Rehoboam replaced them with shields of brass. And the shields of brass, I think, speak to anything else that comes in the room of repentance. Instead of repenting, Rehoboam said, I don't really need shields of gold. Shields of brass will do the job. I don't need the preciousness. I don't need the glory. I don't need all those things. Let me substitute something lesser in its stead. And what we'll do is we'll take them out and put them back at their intervals, just like before, so that everyone can admire them and think that nothing's wrong. So often, I think, we hear, certainly we hear from Scripture that the natural man, speaking now from Romans chapter 1, that he changes or exchanges the truth of God for a lie, does he not? He changes the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image of four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's what Paul says in Romans 1. So often, I think, however, churches may be guilty of the same sin in turning away from the gold of pure doctrine, the gold of wondrous and biblical and obedient practice, and substituting something of lesser value in its stead and trotting it out at its appointed intervals and saying, see, nothing's changed, nothing to see here. And so we have the shields of gold being exchanged for the shields of brass. And so often those things that God has given to us for our protection, the purity of doctrine, those shields of gold, if I can use that metaphor, well, they're just taken out of the way or taken away by our enemy, and we put up brass instead, and we're content with that rather than to repent. I think that's a sad commentary on the kingdom of Rehoboam and a sad commentary for any who would rise up and imitate that practice. Thus ends the reading then of 1 Kings chapter 14.